Se murió, pues.
Los Guerreros Unidos se vieron obligados a huir tras la desaparición forzada de los 43 estudiantes de Ayotzinapa. Sabían, dicen los pobladores, que el ejército llegaría a buscarlos. Pero el caso de Carrizalillo no es el único de su tipo, dice este especialista.
Hay regiones en este país en donde no hay poder, no hay autoridad, sino que quien manda es la delincuencia organizada. Y es el caso de Carrizalillo.
El nombre del pueblo resonó con fuerza en semanas recientes, cuando el gobierno descubrió al menos 4 fosas comunes con 7 cuerpos en su interior. Pero los vecinos dicen que estas fosas no son las únicas. Aunque el cártel de los Guerreros Unidos ya no se encuentra aquí y la presencia militar continúa, los vecinos de Carrizalillo todavía no pueden dormir tranquilos. Tienen miedo de que alguna vez el narcotráfico vuelva. Fernando Camacho, Telesur, Carrizalillo, Guerrero, México.
Mientras que en Estados Unidos y Europa se intensifican los ataques contra los migrantes provenientes de Siria, Afganistán, Yemen, Irak y otras partes del norte de África, donde Washington y sus aliados realizan guerras e intervenciones armadas, el gobierno mexicano anuncia éxito en sus campañas antimigrantes. De acuerdo a un estudio publicado por defensores de los derechos humanos y de los migrantes, desde julio de 2014 el gobierno mexicano ha incrementado el número de detenciones. El estudio revela el arresto de 168,000 migrantes en los últimos 2 meses, mientras que en el año previo la cifra ascendió a 97,000. La información obtenida fue extraída de bancos de datos del gobierno, documentos en refugios de migrantes y entrevistas con autoridades migrantes y otras fuentes. La oficina en Washington sobre América Latina, entidad que colaboró en el estudio, dice que la intensificación de los arrestos es preocupante, ya que usualmente los migrantes resultan heridos o muertos en ese tipo de operaciones. Añade que esas actividades de la Policía de Migración Mexicana también obliga a los migrantes a buscar rutas más peligrosas para viajar donde son más vulnerables. Algunos de los migrantes capturados por México vienen de Honduras, un país que está llamando la atención de oficiales de Naciones Unidas. Escuchemos este reporte de Rocío Franco.
El relator de la ONU sobre los derechos humanos de los desplazados, Chaloka Beyani, viajará a Honduras el 23 al 27 de noviembre de 2015 para evaluar la situación de la población desarraigada en ese país. Beyani explicó que el desplazamiento interno en Honduras, debido a la violencia delictiva, las maras y la inseguridad, tiene un efecto de devastador para los afectados y requiere acción y medidas preventivas para proteger a esas personas. El relator visitará zonas afectadas por el problema, entre ellas Tegucigalpa y San Pedro Sula, una de las ciudades del mundo más afectadas por la violencia. Beyani presentará un informe sobre su visita al Consejo de Derechos Humanos de la ONU en junio de 2016. Rocío Franco, Naciones Unidas, Nueva York.
Por otro lado, el periodista Abayomi Asichigwe alerta sobre la creciente criminalización y sospechas de que son objeto los migrantes africanos a partir de los atentados en París, Francia, el viernes 13 de noviembre. Apunta a la oferta de gobiernos europeos de enviar dinero a África para reducir el interés de la población nativa a viajar hacia el norte. Ese programa, dice, convertiría a primeros ministros africanos en los porteros de Europa. El portavoz de la Agencia de la ONU para los Refugiados, ACNUR, William Spindler, está haciendo un llamado a la concordia y entendimiento de la situación real de los refugiados ahora caminando por Europa. Jordi Trujols tiene más detalles.
A raíz del reciente atentado terrorista el pasado viernes en París, se han encendido las alarmas ante la posibilidad de que elementos terroristas se infiltren en las filas de los refugiados provenientes de Siria que buscan una nueva esperanza en Europa, escapando del conflicto en su país de origen. Para hablar de esta situación, Radio ONU entrevistó en Ginebra al portavoz de la Agencia de la ONU para los Refugiados, William Spindler. El portavoz se mostró preocupado ante las informaciones sin confirmar aparecidas en los medios, alertando de que uno de los asaltantes en la capital francesa se habría infiltrado en la ruta europea que siguen los refugiados sirios. Spindler subrayó la importancia de no confundir a los refugiados con terroristas, a la vez que remarcó la condena enérgica al atentado por parte de ACNUR y destacó la solidaridad de la agencia con el pueblo francés.
Esta información no ha sido aún confirmada, pero es de todas formas muy preocupante que uno de los atacantes, uno de los autores de los ataques en París, podría haberse infiltrado en Europa utilizando la misma ruta que los refugiados. Pero para nosotros lo importante no es confundir en este momento a los refugiados que son víctimas del terrorismo, que están escapando justamente los mismos grupos que fueron responsables de los ataques en París, con los victimarios. Entonces no confundamos una cosa con la otra.
Preguntado acerca de la negativa a acoger refugiados sirios que han manifestado algunos países europeos y varios estados de Estados Unidos, Spindler calificó la situación como fuera de la realidad y abogó por realizar un proceso de acogida ordenado y legal de los exiliados.
Nos parece que esta es una reacción que no obedece a la realidad. Es, de hecho, muy importante en este momento continuar recibiendo a los refugiados, pero de una manera ordenada, organizada, en la que las verificaciones necesarias puedan ser hechas. Lo que nosotros hemos estado insistiendo es que los movimientos de refugiados hacia Europa deben de hacerse de una manera legal, organizada, después de haberlos entrevistado, después de haber hecho todas las verificaciones e investigaciones necesarias, y de una manera en que no pone en peligro a los mismos refugiados. Eso es lo que nosotros buscamos, y es por eso que la relocalización de los refugiados que ya se encuentran en Europa y el reasentamiento de los que podrían venir en el futuro es tan importante. Esta es la forma más segura de que estas personas vengan, segura para ellos y segura también para los países que los acogen, porque van a saber exactamente quiénes vienen y nos podemos asegurar que son las personas que necesitan ayuda.
Asimismo, destacó la dificultad del reasentamiento de los refugiados llegados a Europa e intercedió por la organización de los movimientos migratorios para optimizar la recibida en los países de acogida.
En este momento lo que tenemos es un caos en el que grupos grandes de personas arriesgando su vida llegan a Europa y donde no hay un control realmente exhaustivo de quiénes son estas personas. Lo que se trata es de organizar estos movimientos, hacerlos de una forma más segura, más organizada, menos caótica, en la que las autoridades sepan quiénes son las personas que están viniendo y se preparen para recibirlos. En este momento no es lo que se está dando. En este momento son movimientos que las personas son ellas mismas las que deciden a dónde van, cómo, cuándo. No son necesariamente las personas que más necesitan protección las que viajan, sino que las que pueden pagar a los contrabandistas de personas.
Finalmente, Spindler destacó que los refugiados son sometidos a un proceso de entrevistas realizadas por ACNUR, así como por las agencias de seguridad estatales, donde se investiga quiénes son y cuáles son sus motivos para solicitar asilo.
No olvidemos que la mayoría de los que han cometido acciones terroristas en Europa son personas que han nacido en Europa, que no han venido de fuera, la inmensa mayoría. Entonces, tiene que buscarse otra manera de combatir esta situación. En cuanto a las personas que van a venir como parte de la reinstalación, lo que hacemos nosotros es una serie de entrevistas en las que nos aseguramos quiénes son las personas, cuáles son los motivos por los cuales necesitan venir a Europa, y también los países que las reciben tienen una serie de entrevistas y de chequeos, incluyendo por las agencias de seguridad de estas personas. Entonces, esta es la mejor manera de reducir a un mínimo el riesgo de posibles atentados.
Entrevistamos a William Spindler, portavoz de la Agencia de la ONU para los Refugiados, ACNUR, en Ginebra. Jordi Trujols, Nueva York.
Actualmente el mundo contempla el desplazamiento de personas más grande desde la Segunda Guerra Mundial. Solo en Siria, como 11 millones han sido forzados a dejar sus hogares, 4 millones en el extranjero, países y regiones vecinas. Los desplazados son víctimas de guerras imperiales o la creciente crisis del sistema capitalista. En lugar de ir a la raíz del problema, dice Abayomi Asikiwe, Europa y sus aliados intentan contener la crisis dentro de las naciones oprimidas, las mismas que ellos han destruido por siglos de esclavitud, colonización, neocolonización, superexplotación y militarismo. En noticias relacionadas, el primer mandatario salvadoreño está recibiendo reconocimiento por algunas victorias alcanzadas en la lucha contra los flagelos del narcotráfico, el crimen organizado y la violencia. En Los Ángeles, yo soy Fernando Velázquez.
Los proyectos RED promovidos en la República Democrática del Congo por organismos prestamistas como el Banco Mundial, al igual que los agroindustriales y los mineros, son solo aprobados por el gobierno sin consultar a las comunidades locales ni respetar sus derechos territoriales. Óscar Epelde informa.
La mayor aspiración en Congo es mejorar las condiciones de vida y gestionar los recursos naturales respetando los derechos humanos, lo que sigue siendo un desafío.
Muchas concesiones de explotación forestal son dadas a los explotadores sobre tierras que en virtud del derecho de costumbre están ocupadas por las comunidades. Y esas comunidades se acaban viendo expulsadas de sus tierras.
Actores de la sociedad civil cabildean para hacer valer las opiniones y los derechos de las comunidades locales en las iniciativas de la modernización que impulsan el Banco Mundial y el Gobierno. En este taller en Kinshasa subrayan la principal debilidad de los grandes proyectos agrícolas, forestales, mineros y de conservación.
¿En qué se han estudiado suficientemente los asuntos previos relativos al suelo? Porque estamos partiendo de un atajo, que la tierra pertenece al Estado, pero cuando interrogas a los campesinos por todos lados por donde he ido, la gente te pregunta, ¿dónde están las tierras del Estado en nuestra tierra? Por tanto, se trata de una verdadera ficción consagrada por la legislación y sobre la que todo el mundo está sufriendo.
Los conflictos proliferan y se corre el riesgo de reproducir los mismos errores cometidos en los parques nacionales, concebidos y aún gobernados desde el exterior y sin ninguna implicación de las comunidades locales. Acabaron echándoles de sus tierras, quitándoles el sustento. Y todo lo que se han beneficiado de la conservación de la vida salvaje es que son ahora más pobres que antes. Aquí en la orilla oeste del lago Eduardo, en el Parque Nacional de Virunga, donde la violencia se ha tornado endémica, los campesinos pescan y cultivan para subsistir, pero sin que se les reconozca la posibilidad de demostrar que podrían por ellos mismos gestionar y preservar sus recursos naturales, como el petróleo del lago.
Aquí en Kivu Norte nos hacen creer que la principal amenaza que pesa sobre los ecosistemas es la presión demográfica, cuando el verdadero problema es la pobreza y la falta de alternativas causada porque no se respetan los derechos de las comunidades. Desde Goma, Oscar Repelde para Telesur.
Hemos llegado al final de otra edición del Informativo Pacífica, un noticiero producido diariamente con el trabajo voluntario y digno de sus colaboradores. A nombre de Toshli, del director del proyecto, Fernando Velázquez, se despide Norma Martínez.
This is Ward Churchill saying, get yourself a mind transplant. Listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101 FM.
Coming up next, Bathrop Spears broadsides the home version. Stay tuned.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me laugh. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you. Sing me of wars and sing me of bread lines. Tell me of front page news. Sing me of strikes and last minute headlines. Test your observation in syncopation. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must get hot with what is what, or I won't love you. What a song that's satirical, putting the mirror into miracle. It must be packed with social fact, or I won't love you. Sing me of kings and conferences martial. Tell me of mills and mines. Sing me of courts that aren't impartial. What's to be done with them? Tell me in rhythm. There's nothing else that will do. It must be tense with common sense, or I won't love you.
So, you are listening to the Thursday, November 19th edition of Bathrop's Piers Broadsides, recorded in different segments in the days before. I'm actually recording this particular segment on the 18th, and I'm going to be kind of jumping ahead and getting it together like a patchwork quilt. You can reach me, not really during the show, but you can call at any time and leave a message at my home phone, which is also a number for HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, at the usual 423-4833, the HUF line. 831-423-HUFF. So do that. If you have any thoughts about the show, if you want to encourage me to do more such shows, if you want to tell me this show sucks, it can't be heard, or I'm not interested in the way the, you know, what kind of material you're covering, that sort of thing. So that's input again. You can give that at any time, 831-423-4833, or you can email me at rnorse3@hotmail.com. So last night was Freedom Sleepout number 19, our 19th weekly event in front of City Hall, actually crowded off onto the sidewalk, where some activists like myself and outnumbered by homeless folks seeking, if not a legal, at least a fairly safe place to sleep, cluster even in spite of the growing cold, although this last night was not as cold as a week ago, and it really was bone-chilling, and I was afraid to... Well, I went and got myself a super warm coat. Plus, we got a number of donations for folks, and we're able to give out a few items. The numbers of people there dropped from the week before. We, again, were not harassed with Klieg lights, restricted parking, which they've been doing for the last month or two before that. But there was an unusual, well, maybe not unusual in a way, but certainly inappropriate and abusive attack on homeless people both before and after the protest. Their property was confiscated, they were told to move, and that happened both on Tuesday afternoon, according to witnesses, I wasn't there, and then again on Wednesday morning after the protest was over and folks were still quite legitimately staying at in the area at City Hall, which the city has closed at night, but which is still open during the day. And we're going to hear, kind of work our way through that protest with a few clips, and we'll begin shortly. But first, and periodically throughout the next 2 hours, I'm going to be playing bits from plain brown wrapper and some other stuff I dredge up from my collection here. Plain Brown Wrapper is a collection of songs from Uncle Banzai, a group of, I think it's two women and one man in the 80s. Stuff I've liked, and some of these songs I've actually never heard before, but they sound intriguing, so I'm going to try them.
Sweater season makes them hard as nails. Holding up their scorecards as the girls go by, trying every line that never fails, waiting for a smile to catch the eye. They go down to see the new arrivals, and they line the sidewalk through the town, and you wonder if you can survive another round. Facial duties make them turn to gel, staring at their outfits by the public pool, waiting on a breeze to bring the smell, tugging on a sleeve to catch the drool. He goes up to pick his clothes for dinner, and he wonders should he wear a tie, and he sets his stomach in but doesn't quite know why. What's the noise on the street? Feel the thunder through the bedroom door. Must be boys, boys in heat, feeling urges that they can't. can't ignore every word of precondition, every attitude complete. Just a touch of inhibition can be sweet for boys in. Playboy bunnies make them come alive, tearing out the staples from the centerfold, hoping for a playmate to arrive, waiting for a sign to make them bold. He goes up to take a long cold shower, and he seems to disappear for days, and he tells you that he's just been scouring his face. What's the noise on the street? Sounds like nothing that I've heard before. Must be boys, boys in heat. All sincerity and too secure. Every step a sacred mission. Indirect and indiscreet. Just the thought of exhibition means defeat for boys in.
That was Boys in Heat. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. This is a pre-recorded broadcast being broadcast, hopefully, on November 19th, Thursday evening. We run from 6 to 8 on Thursdays and from 9:30 to 1 and sometimes later on Sundays. And again, you can leave comments about the show at 423-4833. 831-423-4833. I'm Robert Norris, and I wish you could call in, but we don't have a studio at the moment, and we need one, so help us get one. We will pay for it. Well, in fact, we'll give you a $500 reward if you find us one, and you should leave any information about essentially, it's a 10 by 10 space with access to electricity and the internet, or possibly a backyard where we can build some kind of a structure. And we'll build it, and we'll keep broadcasting to you. So, anyway, go to freakradio.org or 423-4833 and leave a message if you have any ideas, any suggestions, or any offers. And if you are the person who directs us in that proper direction, you will get 5C notes. And now, if I can get this properly set up, we're going to go to the clips I made from, I guess it was the 17th at the Freedom Sleepout number 19. 15, I'm driving down to the Freedom Sleepers number 19 event. Police have already reportedly, according to Tree, who's a Food Not Bombs activist down there, been given stay-away orders. Moved off the property, had their property taken, some of them, and are kind of in somewhat dismay and disarray. Well, we'll see whether
that continues and try to get confirmation on that. This is just a preliminary report. So, it's the Freedom Safe Out number 19. We're here at about 20 to 6. Two guards, no red jackets that say no parking on the parking meters, and no reports yet of people here who've gotten tickets tonight. You haven't gotten anything, have you?
No, sir.
No, I have not. But you have been, you know, keeping an eye on things. Sign in, please.
My name's Lawrence McGregor, a.k.a. Blue Viper.
And Mr. Viper, or Lawrence, if you will, either way, what have you noticed in the last week, and what do you got to tell us?
From last Tuesday till now, we had a few people camping on the City Hall property. I don't know anything about them getting tickets or not, but I have seen people laying on the side.
Okay. And I see they still have the A-frames and some of the tape.
Yeah.
Urging people or instructing people to stay off the grass.
Turn that off.
Oh, okay.
Yes, thanks.
And welcome, welcome. And we're also talking with
Glenn Richard Cabana.
And you are a man who's been embraced with citations and bars in the last week.
Yep.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Are you streaming live on, like, YouTube?
I am not. This goes into a recording which I play maybe on Thursday night if I can get the technical expertise on free radio.
Okay. What was the question?
The question is, you say, I think you mentioned you'd gotten a couple tickets, you've been arrested. What's up with that?
I keep getting beat up by the police and security all around fucking town. I've lost a $36,000 truck, a $1,200 dog, and I've been kicked out of pretty much every fucking place I walk into.
Well, here you are innocently eating an apple. What is the terrorism that you're trying to spread throughout our community?
I don't know. I'm going to try to find another apple. I know that.
So, what were these tickets for?
I don't know. Name the charge, and I'll give you a ticket for it.
But I mean in the last week.
Last couple days, I got tickets for sleeping. I don't know, walking maybe?
Tell me about the sleeping ticket. Where'd you get it? When did it happen? What was it about?
I don't know. I got a whole pile of them somewhere. They're accumulating, and then they'll arrest me, and then I'll do some time, and then I'll get out. The time is really what I want to do.
Because you get indoors, or because you love the accommodations?
Both.
There we have it. So the city is adopting a kindler, gentler jail cell for those outside.
Mark, are you kidding? It's like a condo.
Really? Well, there you are.
Three room and board. I mean, delicious food. The guards are wonderful. Everybody keeps in check. Nobody's going to hurt anybody or they're going to fucking get killed. And if you don't like all that, ask for a private cell.
Here, there, here, here, and there, there. You say you got arrested for trespassing as well?
A couple times. One time jammed up by three Mexican guards who took my grinder, an ounce of weed, and a bunch of other shit that I had receipts for. Everything's been paid for on credit cards because I have a real fucking job, a real fucking life, and I really make $135,000 a fucking year.
And what is that fucking job?
I'm a union electrician in Local 332 in San Jose, California, sir.
Well, what brings you to this neck of the woods?
I'm on vacation.
Fair enough. And we've been talking with, if you wish to say.
For the second time? Richard Cabana.
Thank you.
And I can't vouch for the truthfulness nor have I done any independent analysis of Richard's claims. I don't really know Richard. A lot of folks come there, sleep there, and my concern is that folks have a legal place to be at night, that they not be harassed because of the mere act of falling asleep. So around 6 o'clock, people were beginning to gather. Some folks had brought donated food, apples. There's, in the past, there's been some pretty extensive food preparation there, mostly by Food Not Bombs, Keith McHenry and Abby Samuels, kind of leading the charge with
hot soup and bread and sandwiches and veggies and all kinds and salads that you'll find actually on the weekends at the Food Not Bombs meal on Saturdays and Sundays, 4 to 6 at the main post office, or I should say, on the sidewalk nearby. We, with Keith and Abby gone for a month, are kind of doing a bare-bones coffee and sandwiches approach with whatever donations folks provide. And, of course, folks are invited to come on Tuesday nights and provide whatever food they want. I think somebody brought cereal. Later in the evening, pushback Pat Colby, a Huff activist, came and brought roast chicken. And it's there's a lot of concern for the fact that folks no longer getting two meals a day at the Homeless Lack of Services Center, where emergency services have been jettisoned in favor of the so-called Pathway to Housing Help, which is essentially social service providers or poverty pimps, as some critics call them, scooping money out of the federal and state troughs to fund their middle-class jobs and to provide, you know, counseling services, consulting services, searching services for those who are already have Section 8 vouchers or some kind of likelihood of getting a housing in Santa Cruz, which is not terribly likely for most folks, not terribly likely. But the real issue, of course, is legal places to sleep at night for the overwhelming majority of people. And sheltered places, bathroom facilities, showers, none of this is on the radar of the Homeless Lack of Services Center or the Santa Cruz City Council. And folks have to provide it themselves. And, of course, this puts them on the radar of Take Back Santa Cruz and complaining neighbors and complaining businesses, because normal human functions are a scandal when they're done in public without, the shelter of four walls. Anyway, this sleep out, we do provide a porta potty, though it's becoming increasingly kind of difficult for us to do so. Our numbers have been reduced, with some folks burning out, others folks taking a vacation, some folks militantly carrying on, and we're still there, and we tend to be there for Freedom Sleep Out number 20, which will be coming up on the 24th, along with a Santa Cruz City Council meeting as well, which is never anything to shout about. And in fact, this one, maybe something to puke about, actually. I think they're planning to put in RV restrictions, but it's hard to tell. I haven't seen the agenda. We don't see it until Thursday, usually, which would be, for me, since I'm recording this on Wednesday for the Thursday show, that would be tomorrow, and that's for all of you, too. You can find it on the city's website if you want to find it. Let's listen to some more, though, from the sleepout number 19 on the 17th of November. In front of City Hall.
Oh, it's closer to 6, about 10 to 6. Police car just drove off after conferring with two of the first alarm guys, and we're talking with
Dreamcatcher.
Dreamcatcher, say around 3 o'clock there was a police action here.
Yes, there was.
Was that about?
Anybody that had unattended.
You guys got a drive cam?
Yeah, it's up on top up there. It's up on top.
Can you watch my top?
No.
I'm keeping an eye on it, sort of. Go ahead.
But any unattended items were confiscated and put in the back of the trunk of the police car and will be picked up later with identifying, you know, remarks or whatever to get your stuff back. And I just happened to pull up at the right time, and I saved my stuff, and that was that.
How many people ticketed?
I was ticketed for riding my bicycle on the sidewalk.
And this now seems to be a new tactic police are using at the right before the protest begins, and then again after it is over. It may be in response to the bourgeois hypersensitivity and the sensibilities of the city staff that don't like the idea of the uncouth, grubby class gathering outside their pristine windows. I'm sorry to sound so sarcastic, but that conclusion is, you know, it's speculative. But indeed, at the end of August, in the beginning of September, it was staff complaints, although they didn't specify any particular specific incidents that happened, nor did there, was there any indication of police being called for arrests. It was just their discomfort, sort of like the same motivation that gives you anti-homeless laws downtown and all around town, because there's a feeling of a perception of a lack of safety, a perception of discomfort, as though the presence of poor, unwashed, unfed, well, sleep-deprived folks is, it feels like a threat to people. I mean, maybe that's a form of guilt, maybe that's a form of a realistic, it's not really very realistic, because I don't think most homeless people are at the stage where they're going to take what they need to take, frankly, because that's really when people restore their rights when they're prepared to demand them and insist on them, not when great liberals come down and hold their sleepouts and invite them to come, not when charitable people like Don Lane propose minuscule advances or even have laments about wishing things were different, as Lane recently has done in his lengthy Facebook letter, which you can find on his Facebook page, Don Lane is the mayor, or on the Street Spirit website, which you can find at The Street Spirit. I think it's .org. That's the weekly newspaper, monthly newspaper that's distributed by homeless folks. And there's a lot of stuff about Santa Cruz and this particular issue. Anyway, this new approach, this new tactic of harassing people before and after the sleepout, and apparently with significant numbers of police, six police officers, we're going to hear later from another person who observed and whose friends had their property taken by police because the police are using this bogus and abusive ordinance that talks about unattended property. That doesn't mean it's, you know, abandoned property, which police may can legitimately pick up and store until it's claimed, but that means property that you may be keeping for someone else while they go to the bathroom, let's say, or while they go to get a bite to eat, or they go to an appointment that they need to make, or they take a walk around the block. Then it's considered unattended if it's not yours, according to what the police have been doing or did on Tuesday afternoon. And then again, the question arose on Wednesday morning, though I have not yet had any direct interviews with people who are impacted. I've only heard secondhand stories how police did essentially the same thing. They gave tickets to people, as they did to Dreamcatcher, according to his account, for rushing up on his bicycle in order to claim his property. Oh, you rode your bicycle on the sidewalk. That's a ticket. And similarly, they gave a ticket, I believe, to Razor Ray, who was one of the perennial sleepers there, and one of my harshest critics, I might add, in many ways, for a bike on the sidewalk. Again, these are pretexts, it sounds like to me, for making it as uncomfortable for regular activists as they can, and also to force them into a kind of an obedient mantra where they leave public spaces, specifically the spaces around City Hall, when they're told to leave. Even though this is the seat of government, they have more right than at any other time to be there during the day, visibly, when the city council members, their so-called representatives, are coming back and forth. And this, as I said, this seems to be a new tactic. Let's hear some more. I think Dreamcatcher, however, he's a man who really tries to, he lives outside, so he's also an artist. He sort of struggles to look on the good side of things. I've often criticized people for looking on the good side of police department activity when it's actually pretty bad. And that's really what we have to be aware of. But if you're trying to survive out there, you know, I suppose you might jump in the river if you only looked on the, even however realistic it might be, the bad side. Let's hear some more. And we will.
You were riding on the sidewalk?
Yes, when I was coming here to see what was happening, and the cops were friendly.
By ticketing?
Well, I had to get something.
Well, it was either your ticket or your stuff. I guess you took your stuff.
I
know what I have.
Is it
a New Balance jacket I paid $100 for.
Yeah.
5 days ago. I have the receipt paid for with the credit card.
Right.
And I'll sell it right now for $3.
Hey, that's a good bargain.
It's a medium New Balance men's shell. Just came off the rack at the New Balance store in Santa Clara, California. 95054.
It's a bargain. It's going now, folks.
$5 at eBay.
Hey, well, I'm
fine. This takes it.
I will think about that. But getting back to you, Dreamcatcher, so did you see anybody else get ticketed?
No.
What's that? I want to hear about that. Don't go away.
Oh, really? Okay, well, you see, we got cases coming in. We got some of the... I was wondering if we were going to have a thing here tonight or not.
Tell me that story.
But, you know, I'd rather have the officers pick up my stuff and have it be stolen. And they were organized about it. They had my stuff in their possession, and they allowed me to have it back because I asked nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just doing their job. It was, you know, it looked like a junkyard out here. And they're, you know, I'm a true homeless artist. There's a difference between me and some other people out here, not all of us, but I'm a true homeless artist, and everything I got goes on my wheelchair because that's the only thing that they'll allow to move around.
And this is the apologia that, you know, he is somehow different than everybody else, and police must have had some justification in the fact that they let him get away with his stuff, although giving him a ticket anyway is an indication of great generosity on their part and how it rationalizes what the police are doing. And one likes to think that there's some sense or order or a compassionate plan that's going on here. I'm not out there. Maybe Dreamcatcher is right. I don't think so.
Downtown, no shopping carts, no.
Oh, really? Yeah. Is there some sort of law against shopping carts?
Yes,
even if you own the shopping cart?
Shopping cart exploitation is the use of a shopping cart not in a place where it wasn't designated by a person not designated to use it.
I'm just explaining shopping cart exploitation,
okay? Has nothing to do with anything.
I did eight days
in jail for it, okay?
How long ago was this?
It was last year.
And was it your shopping cart or someone else's?
It was three people's, somebody else's.
But I mean, had your permission?
I was covering why they were...
I mean, was it a borrowed shopping cart?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Well, in other words, they can claim it's stolen if it's from somewhere else, but if it's your shopping cart, let's say, like a moving device.
That's what it was, and you know what? It doesn't matter. They gave me a couple of good chances. They cited me out a couple times for this, you know, and I just, it was just...
You never learned your lesson.
No,
ice cream. So vanilla ice cream, banana chips, and dried pecans. I just invented it. It's a new flavor.
There you have it. We have all kinds of creative activity happening down here at Freedom Sleepout number 19. Now, continue. Shall I call you Miguel, or shall I call you Dreamcatcher?
You should call me Dreamcatcher, you silly man.
All right. I mean, I just remember that in court you have a somewhat different identity.
That's right. And the officer that was giving me the ticket remembered how to spell my last name, which was cool. And if anybody else is going to be listening to this, I have some personal...
Hopefully.
Well, I got some personal problems. I wouldn't be here unless I didn't have my original bike and trailer, which a lady has in her storage unit up on 41st, and her name is Potpourri. And she's inappropriately got me responsible for circumstances that I had no control of. And I don't know, you know, the way that she views it, you know, she's got me kind of hogtied here. But after tomorrow, I may not even be coming back because I'm a vet, and they have a bed waiting for me in a very nice place and a house that they want to provide.
Well, I wish you luck with that, Dreamcatcher. And we, of course, will miss the many feathers and feather paintings.
No, I'm going to be probably even more to that.
Oh, you'll be doing more artwork downtown?
No, I'll be more just doing more artwork. I don't know where I'll be doing it.
Fair enough.
Right. But if I disappear after Wednesday, you'll understand where I'm at, and I'll be well taken care of, and maybe it's a mixed blessing. I'll count it as that. But if anybody out there is listening, if you see me after Wednesday, I need a camping mattress, one that does holds air.
Keep that in mind, folks. Dreamcatcher is on the lookout for one of those. So, see if we have any other reports here.
Inside that bag. Oh, maybe that's where they're staring at the men.
Where are my lights? I want some bright ass lights. I don't want them.
So we're talking to a man who created a sleeper's.
We need all these freeloading people who think they have a right to sleep to quit freeloading off of the taxpayers. I want my lights. Where are my big scary lights?
That's
I want
the
them. And I want generators.
He speaks his
and I
mind.
Want cops. And I want dogs. Can we have barking dogs?
And what our man is satirically speaking about, of course, are the three large light platforms that were regularly appearing at the sleep-out compliments of the police department who were setting them up every night and run by these sort of diesel generators. I don't think the fumes bothered me that much, but some people have talked about the noise and the fumes and the light as being a sort of a deterrent, although other people found that they liked the bright lights on the Freedom Sleepers demo as a kind of advertisement, sort of like a light on a big billboard. So as of about 2 or 3 weeks ago, the police stopped putting those lights out, and they also stopped the process that they had begun and kept on going for a month or more of stopping parking along the side of City Hall that is adjacent to the brick area that you can encounter just as you cross from the library, which is where the Freedom Sleepers were gathering. Their table was set up for food. Folks were holding general assemblies there, which is the meeting that Freedom Sleepers were holding regularly for a while in the first few Freedom Sleeps now, not so much recently, but in the past. And these large Klieg lights did not get set up. They haven't been set up for the last 2 Freedom Sleeps, 17 and 18, last 2 weeks. But again, it looks like the police are using a different tactic. They, having been kind of called out for very obvious direct political repression, they are now, you know, simply going after the folks that might have brought their sleeping gear to the Freedom Sleep Out and are waiting beforehand for a couple hours beforehand during the day and then seizing it when they go off to get something to eat or something to natural bodily function, that sort of thing. Again, I'm extrapolating from the accounts I've gotten, but you can be the judge. And this may mean the need for a whole new change in the Freedom Sleeper strategy to a daytime focus where we help organize during the day, perhaps under the slogan, since it's illegal to sleep at night, we're going to sleep during the day and set up a bedroom outside the city council chambers because they don't allow sleeping at night, which I think sounds perfectly reasonable. After all, you want to be law-abiding, follow the dictates of Pamela Comstock, a city council member who heads the Public Safety Committee, the council majority, the sleeping ban law. You can't sleep after 11 o'clock at night until 8:30 in the morning or cover up with blankets. But anyway, let's hear a little more of this individual giving his satirical rant about how we need more Klieg lights and more harassment measures. And you're going to hear how he actually designed a very amusing and I think apropos t-shirt, of which I have a couple. They're in light brown and they talk about sleep crime. Catch those sleep criminals. He may make some more.
Can we get more? Can we get some barking dogs? Maybe
growling.
Some fire hearts.
Maybe biting dogs.
I want some fire hoses. Maybe not like just dripping a little bit to let you know what's coming.
You know, about 5 years ago, you know, came by here and you provided some t-shirts that talked about.
It was only last year, bro.
Oh, yeah.
I'll design you some more
t-shirts. It was for the sleep out at City Hall. That was in 2010.
Okay, well, yeah. Well,
the years have passed you by. You've forgotten already.
Well, it's all that marijuana I forgot to smoke.
There you go.
But, yeah, I need
what's my name again?
Starts with an A.
Something like that.
No, that's an asshole. They keep yelling at
me. No, stop it. Now, what is your name, sir, if you wish to say?
Antonio,
of course. Any... I don't know. Anything, any reactions to what's been happening?
Well, I think that really, when you get down to it, the only crime worse than being poor is to be poor and be screwed up. And, you know, God knows we need more oppression because without it, then how my property value is going to stay up?
A very reasonable, and I would say that makes you part of the.
You know, we need like a little more coffee shops. If we have more coffee shops and knickknacks and nothing anybody actually uses, because people who buy actual products might be detrimental to my state of mind. I need total placidity in my goings about shopping.
Knickknacks won't go anymore. This town's managed to change.
We're running out of people to buy the knickknacks.
This town's managed to change
the sociological nature with all the Google Bus developers
and
things.
Too many souls, those people,
those people don't buy things to hang on their walls because they're not staying here.
Look, that's too philosophical. I just want more crap. I just want more crap, more useless stuff.
Pure one stuff?
I gotta fill my house or something.
Absolutely. More pure one crap.
I gotta fill all my cars. I need gas. I need the air.
There's a cry here for a different kind of merchandise.
Gasoline, you need to go out of downtown. They don't allow gas stations or car dealers down here.
All I know is this.
We have windbags here on the street now, don't we? They're breathing up the air I need for my car. That's the bottom line, okay?
All right. I'm pleased you understand the situation here. And we've been talking with, of course,
Tony.
And, of course, Uncle Lee over there.
Oh, free pizza. That's a non-free pizza.
And about this point, I think some worthy Good Samaritan donated three big pizzas, and people were chowing down on pizzas about 6 or 7 o'clock on a Tuesday night. And here's an interview with Marco.
There are three of us standing across the street, about 20 to 7. We have Derek, Jimmy, and me. Derek, you're of the opinion you think this is a good thing. You're glad you came, but you say earlier in the day there was some unfortunate...
Marco, there, you got skipped.
Yeah, it was actually weird because it's weird for two reasons. A, the first reason is because this is the first time it's happened. What happened is that earlier in the day, on Tuesday, the day that we assemble the Freedom Sleepers and gather and protest, some police officers came. And they told the people who were here, already gathered, because we wanted to pick out our spots, you know, for this event, they told them they had to leave. They said, this is a park, and they couldn't be here. Then the question is why? Well, if it's a park, why can't we be here? Especially since we have this event, on Tuesday. But anyway, so then the people who, weren't there, weren't there, their stuff was taken. And, unfortunately, I was one of them, my sleeping bag was taken. And so it's just the question is why? Why were we kicked off the city council, which is a park, on Tuesday, on our event day? I don't understand.
And how many people would you say lost their stuff?
There's about 5 million people that I know have lost their stuff. 5 people I know who actually came back and said, "Where's my stuff?" Mm-hmm. You know, and they're asking everybody else, and I was one of them. You know, "Where's my stuff?" Where'd
your sleeping bag was taken?
Yeah, my sleeping bag was taken. Absolutely, yes, it was.
And nights are getting colder. So did you see the police take any of this, or just got secondhand reports?
No, when I came back, because I left and I came back and the stuff was gone, and this was something that, this is something that even the first alarm people can tell you. I mean,
I'm not doubting it, but I'm just asking, did you see any of it?
No, I did not. I was not here.
You got the account from the first alarm or from other people?
From most of the other people. Yep. There's quite a few people I can point, or I can, lead you to, and they'll let you know. And there are a lot of first-handers, though. A lot of first-hand. You know, a lot of people who saw it firsthand.
And you're still coming back in spite of the seizure of property? What are you, some kind of a masochist?
Just a homeless person, yeah, who has a home, absolutely. I just have to support the cause of having a safe and sound environment for to sleep without being made turned into a criminal. Or, you know, how am I going to pay these fines I'm getting for illegal camping? It's ridiculous.
I hear you and I agree. We've been talking with
Derek Smith
and with
Jimmy Costa.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Derek. So hold those signs up high so people can see them. And you maybe want you to do one direction, want you to do the other direction.
With Michelle Irway.
And Michelle, you say you were here earlier.
Yeah, about noon, I think it was, when I left the library. No, about one. When I left the library and came over to the center court over here, my friend Otto was sitting there, and I had some rocks I wanted to show him. Just got them today from the tracks. Nice. Next, I look up, and here comes six officers.
Six officers?
Mm-hmm.
Of our Santa Cruz police?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And
were they armed?
In uniform, yes.
It's the bare shit in the world.
Well, they had stripes. Let's put it that way. And they talked to Lucky. And asked her, she had a grocery cart right there and a massage table, and they said, that's not all your stuff in there, that's somebody else's, right? And she said, well, yeah, well, they took it all. They put the whole grocery cart in the back of the cruiser. And then they left, and I decided I wanted to go smoke a cigarette, and I walked this way, and I saw the officers over in the center over there, loading everybody else's stuff up, too.
How much stuff would you say they took?
two full carloads, trunkloads.
Did you notice the names or the badge numbers of any of these fine gentlemen?
No, I did not, sir.
You didn't tackle them. Stop taking our stuff. You thief, thief. You didn't call for the police. Wait.
They are the police.
Yeah.
So much for that.
And they had attitudes as well. They were pretty snappy when they spoke.
Any sergeants among them or just a bunch of cops? Any or lieutenants?
Three stripers, yes.
There were some three
stripers. Two three stripers.
So the higher authorities are involved in this theft of property from poor people.
Yes, they are.
Did they take people's survival gear so that... were people...
They took everything of Lucky's.
And do you think that people were gathering here with that material for a political purpose to be here tonight, or were they just passing by?
They were probably gathering for tonight.
And are those people now deterred from coming back, do you think?
No, the two of the gentlemen are here. One of them, they took all his stuff. All his stuff. Rich, they took all of it.
And what about the person who was doing the massage, you say?
She just bought that table, and she was just showing us, she just had it with her. They took all her stuff as well.
Was she present when they took it?
Yes, she was.
Well, why would they take her stuff if she was present, did they say?
Because it wasn't all hers. That's exactly what they said.
An unusual new excuse being used by our clever police officers. Interesting.
Very interesting.
Anything else happened that you wish to pass on to make us feel cheery tonight?
Nope.
And we've been talking with?
Michelle Irwin.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
And there's two eyewitness accounts of the new tactics being used by these thug thieves in blue who are getting paid, I don't know how much they can pay. Is it $20 or $30 an hour to walk around and protect the public by despoiling homeless people of their property and pander to the fears and prejudices, I would assume, of the city staff? But maybe this is independently being done, or maybe they're being ordered to do it, or maybe it's, I don't know, lunch break. I suppose it's time for me to start interviewing the police if they are going to be spoken to. Usually I'll get some smarmy reply that isn't really relevant. You're tuned to Free Radio 101.1, no, 0.3 FM. We used to be 101.1. And we're also streaming at freakradio.org. We don't got no studio. You find us one, we give you $500, 10 by 10 space, with access to internet and electricity. And who knows? If there's a donut shop nearby, well, that might or might not be a good idea. Who knows? This is a regular broadcast twice a week, and it's a little grueling to do. I'm finding I can do it a little better than I'd anticipated, so that's good. But let me know how you think it's going. Let me know if you feel the selections are interesting and educational. Let me know if you have any reaction to them. Let me know if you think there's some stories that aren't being covered that you'd like to hear covered on Free Radio by calling 831-423-4833. Pretty soon we're going to take a musical break, but let's not lose track of our interviews. I'm still in the rudimentary stages of dealing with computers, and I have to kind of tangle myself around doing this. So let's hear a little more again from the Freedom Sleep Out on Tuesday night. That's just last night for me, but it will be night before last when you hear this show. Should be on, who we're talking with?
Michelle Irwin.
You say yesterday the depot
tracks, railroad tracks, were the police went through and raided every camp, and they pulled up, and I'm with Critter, and he says, police, and I look down, yeah, they went to the camp below, and then they came up to ours, or his.
And what did they do?
They were going to arrest Critter, because they've asked him to leave over and over, and he just won't leave. And they said,
is this public property or private property? What is this? Railroad property?
Railroad property,
and it,
yeah,
should be public, but it's Southern Pacific or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. But they said if we were there tomorrow, we were going to jail.
I mean, just get out of here. We're just going to have to convince you, you know?
And they raided. They cleaned out every camp today.
And were people there when they came? Or
I don't know. I got back late.
How do you know they cleaned out every camp?
Because I went to get my sleeping bag and it was gone.
They took your sleeping bag?
Yes.
So, how many people would you say were impacted by this?
Roughly 20 to 25.
And they're all, of course, coming to the Freedom Sleepers tonight to sleep inside City Hall, right?
I don't know. I hope.
Mm.
Nobody's seen Critter.
Breaking and entering? Are you advocating a conspiracy to break into our seat of government or to criminally sleep at night?
Yeah, it's really rough, isn't it? Hard to sleep at night.
And we've been talking again with?
Michelle Irwin.
Thanks, Michelle.
You're welcome.
So we have a report from Doc Mike. And Doc Mike, you are a man who, are you using the armory?
No, I'm not using the armory, no, but I could if the weather got really bad or anything, I could. But, you know, as you know, I stayed in my boat quite a number.
And Mike, who's also a commentator on Free Radio Santa Cruz, I don't know if he's done any new shows lately, because he is, though he talks about his boat, which I've never been to, but presumably that's where he's staying. I'm not sure whether this is a sailboat, a canoe, a yacht. I'm not quite sure what it is. He has a regular show on Free Radio. I think it's a Monday evening, and Monday and Tuesday evenings, if you want to tune in. We're still playing some of his older shows on Free Radio. And you can access Free Radio's schedule by going to freakradio.org. We're kind of keeping the schedule going. Mostly the shows are older shows that we're replaying. But, for example, as with this show, there is the occasional new show, which some of us are trying to create without a studio. That's how I'm doing it. I'm doing it from my own computer. But it's not the best. And it's, we'll see what happens with this. So, let's hear more. Doc Mike and... see where we're at.
Number of days during the week.
You have a boat, eh?
Oh, yeah. I'm a sailor.
You're a sea-bound, seaworthy seasick and, sea serpent.
Yeah, and you know there's a story, a metaphor, and it says the boat is big, so the captain should be the soul or the consciousness, not the mind.
We'll leave that one behind. But you have learned something about the armory's new policies or these homeless lack of services centers' new policies?
Yeah, I was down there today at the homeless shelter. I spoke to some of my contacts. And the people staying at the armory, they are getting fed now twice a day. The other change is anybody can go in there and have a shower.
Not at the armory, but at the homeless lack of services in a Coral Street.
Yeah, yeah.
And by being fed twice a day, he's referring to the practice that was the case previously, where you could get a meal at 4 o'clock, then be hustled off to the armory along with 99 other people, and then warehouse there for the evening, and then come back at 5 in the morning and hang around till breakfast, and then you got a breakfast at the Homeless Lack of Services Center. All such meals were cut off in June. Oh, there was no armory in June, but there were meals at the Homeless Lack of Services Center just for the general population. People could come in and eat. Not after the end of June, when the Homeless Lack of Services Center, with its $3.3 million budget, which it had, I don't know, I think it was 300,000 or 600,000 cut from it because of grant screw-ups and people who then conveniently resigned. Jan and Thomas hit the road. I think a couple of others disappeared into the woodwork. We have a new boss down there, Phil Kramer, who has left the 180-180 scam, as I call it. I don't know if that's entirely fair to call it a complete scam. Some people did get housing for the so-called 180-180 project, but they bumped other people, as I understand it, from their housing. And it was an attempt to persuade the community, see how compassionate we are. Now we can be nasty and kick the ass around of those people who are still left on the streets. They must be, you know, ungrateful turds who don't want to, you know, play ball, drug addicts, or else they're people we have to 5150 and drug to death because they obviously can't follow the best smart solutions, as another program had it. In other words, the idea of pumping up PR to claim you're solving homelessness is a way of also turning the community against the visible homeless on the streets. Because the implication is they don't want to go into these programs, or they're some sort of unregenerate, shiftless or suspicious gypsy types, or else they're just crazy or alcohol or drug addicted. They can't follow the rules. These are the kinds of paranoid, bigoted conclusions that the Take Back Santa Cruz mob, but long before them, the staff and the Downtown Association and Lynn Robinson's Santa Cruz neighbors and Cynthia Matthews crowd have always sort of, I believe, promulgated as stereotypes and actually sworn onto. But I don't have these poor slandered groups here in my next to my mic to get their point of view, so I don't want to be mean to them and suggest that's necessarily the case. You know, I'm going to try and take a musical break here because I'll pick one out. Here's one that actually I've heard before but I liked. Let's see if you like it. It's called, I'm hoping we'll get this, Don't Put It in Your Mouth. If we get past the sound effects, that is.
This song is about the sort of things your mother says to you when you're not going away to college, but when you're a child, to keep you from bodily harm. It's called Don't Put It in Your Mouth. Don't put it in your mouth. You don't know where it's been. Don't assume it's candy for a minute. Don't take it from the ground or from a strange old man. Other kids have vanished when they did it. Don't you ever point it at your sister. Go put it in your room. I'll wash your mouth with soap. Then I'll put you to its every corner. Did you bring enough for everyone? Keep it to yourself or share or share. Go upstairs and think of what you've done. You're just not my kid, I swear. Windy, or it sticks forever. Don't leave it on the floor or feed it to the dog. If you break it, you won't get another. How many times do I have to tell you? In one ear and out the other. Don't try talking with your mouth full. You're behaving like your father. If you want to grow up healthy, knock it off and put it down. Keep it clean and safe for later. And don't you put it in your mouth. Don't put it in your mouth. What if you should choke? Even though you didn't choke the last time. Because the neighbor did. You should try to make your brain work sometimes. See your hands, both sides. Stop it living now and roll and roll. What's best for you is best for me. Don't ask why or how, just go, just go, 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 just go. If you don't want to eat, we'll find someone who will. Starving kids in India will love it. And you'll just go to bed and stay there for a week, or put it in your mouth and swallow it. How many times do I have to tell you? In one ear and out the other. Don't try talking with your mouth full. You'll be behaving like your father.
sugar. If you want to grow up healthy, knock it off and put it down. Keep it clean.
And that's Don't Put It in Your Mouth, or most of it anyway. Let's get back to the Freedom Sleepers from night before last for you guys, last night for me.
Yes, yes. They can have a shower there every day of the week. Now, it used to be just three times a week.
You have to present an ID to go get a shower.
You always bring your table. Thank you, man.
No, but you got to present... you might have to present ID to get into the place. You know, they have that gate.
Well, naturally, you might try to break in, Doc, and they know you're stalking outside, waiting to get in there.
Well, yeah, it's been known that I slipped in there when no one was looking. Yeah, when the gate was open for a car.
The changes in the schedule are, well, it doesn't really sound like a real change, but they're feeding people breakfast and dinner who are going to the armory on the list, right?
Exactly.
And it is an immediate emergency shelter you can line up on the day, right?
Yeah, emergency shelter. The army you're talking about?
That's correct.
Yeah, you can go there anytime just to ride. You have to go there fairly early at 5 o'clock to get the bus up there.
And
yes.
What time do you get bounced out of bed up at the armory?
Oh, pretty early, 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you say you can get showers anytime even if you're not going to the armory?
Yes.
But you better have your ID with you.
Yes, I think that's true. They might ask you for the ID. That's true.
Now, what about the respect to the bathroom? Suppose you have to take a dump. Will they let you in, or are they going to say, no way unless you're in our path to housing?
They have that place open at the loft. That's where it all happens, in that building. So that's open now.
To the general public or just to the...
That I don't know, but I don't know.
What about laundry? Can you do laundry, or are you still cut off from laundry?
That I don't have the details on that.
Now, are there people sleeping outside the Homeless Lack of Services Center at night?
I believe there is. There was a lot of people out there today, and they had their stuff on the sidewalk there. It looks kind of like a bit of a dump.
What time were you there?
I was there about 11, 12 o'clock, that time.
I see.
Yeah.
And... But you don't know if, I guess we'd have to go over there tonight to see if there's anybody over there this time of night, so.
I know. It looks like they're kind of camping outside the gate, some people, because they have all their stuff there in the sidewalk. You know, it looks like...
Now, is that only on the Rebelli family's shelter side, or is it throughout and other places around there?
No, it's the Rebelli side, yes.
Because I saw a couple of sleeping bags and some stuff, but yeah. I didn't see 20 or 30 or 10 or 20 people or anything.
No, but there was 6 or 7 people there when I was there today, you know, hanging out there.
Okay.
With their stuff. Yeah, with their stuff.
And I'd like to get some reports on this, because it's interesting if there is a massive presence of people sleeping outside and police are allowing them to sleep there at night. That's, I suppose, a positive sign. You know, it's better than being arrested or ticketed or harassed or driven away. Not that it means any services are being provided or people being allowed to form their own communities, just in certain selected spots they're being left alone. But again, that was to some extent the objective of at least one or two of the groups that formed the Freedom Sleepers. I think the Homeless Depot group, which Rabbi Phil Posner and Steve Plaich were pressing for at least a specific area where people could go and sleep. Even if it was only a limited area, even if it was highly restricted in terms of rules, even if you weren't allowed to put up a tent. We're going to hear more about that, because I believe Phil Posner is actually returning to town. He may well be at the next Freedom Sleepout on the 24th, which is coming up next Tuesday. I invite everyone here who's listening to come on down, look in, or donate to it. Can't tell what temperatures are going to be, but they've been unseasonably cold, at least at one of the sleepouts. Last Tuesday wasn't so bad. Let's hear a little more from Doc Mike. But again, I'm hoping that folks can kind of parse through this, because there has been a small change at the Homeless Lack of Services Center, in that they have restored the right to get showers even if you are not on one of their little golden boy and golden girl programs. which are limited. You know, I think there's at most 46 in the Pauley Loft and 50 or so in the Page Smith and, I don't know, 29 families in the Rebele Family Shelter and I'm not sure how many it is, 20 or 30 in the River Street Shelter. And reminding you that the River Street Shelter is the only place that has currently a waiting list that you are allowed to use to indemnify yourself or exempt yourself from camping tickets if you are on the list, assuming that they are following the law, which was created 5 years ago as an exception to the camping ban, which says if you call 459-6644, that's 459-6644, and say, my name is so-and-so, I wish to be put on the waiting list, and please call me back to confirm you've done this, if you have a phone, or just put me on the waiting list, and then you have to call back every 3 days to make sure you stay on the waiting list. Any sleeping or camping tickets you get during the next few days while you're on that waiting list are supposedly going to be automatically dismissed by our doughty city attorney, Anthony Condotti. We no longer have John Barisoni to kick around. Now we've got Condotti to kick around. And I'm sure he will prove a serviceable target. All these folks are pretty horrible in the service of the city abuse of homeless people and the criminalization of the poor. Whatever their private liberal inclinations are. I mean, Barisoni was a liberal guy, I think, privately. At least that was my impression. I could be wrong. A lot of these, you know, all these people are Democrats. You know, they're big Obama supporters. Some of them are Bernie Sanders supporters. You know, big shitty deal when it comes to fulfilling their roles as oppressors. Once they get into power, they act quite differently. I mean, Mike Rotkin is the prime example. He touts himself as being a socialist, a democratic socialist. And yet he favors the criminalization of poor people and took measures to make sure that the sleeping ban stayed in place while he was mayor on each of the 5 or 6 terms when he was mayor. So that's why when I hear somebody whose opinions and actions I otherwise respect, like George, who I ran into at the Cafe Pergolesi today as we were having a Huff meeting, sort of, we had a small Huff meeting today every Wednesday. You can go to the, usually to the Sub Rosa Cafe to check out the Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom Civil Rights Group every Wednesday at 11 o'clock. And we moved to the Cafe Pergolesi. Sub Rosa was locked for some reason. I think they got staffing problems there. And I saw one of my old Occupy friends, certainly acquaintances, colleagues, comrades, what you will, from the old Occupy movement, George, who's done a lot of documenting and keeps an eye on stuff throughout the town, with his Bernie Sanders button. And I kind of said to him, what are you doing with a Bernie Sanders button? And, oh, it's the least of the evils, you know. And my response to that is, you press for the changes you need to have made. You do not support the candidates who have already said in advance they will support Hillary Clinton warmongering crowd, of which Bernie Sanders is also part, as part of the massive pro-Israeli government lobby. You know, if you get into the voting booth, you know, vote for whoever you want and if the election comes up, but you're going to spend your time pushing for people whose fundamental policies are really at the root indistinguishable from those of the other party. It's a corporate monopoly, if you know what I mean. Press for the issues. Press to end the wars. Press to end the criminalization of homeless people. Demand that these candidates take these positions, whoever they are, wherever, particularly if they're local. But again, what they say, it's always what they do that is the key. And that is usually pretty horrible and pretty predictable. Homeless Lack of Services Center has started the Armory program, which means that's a walk-in program. You can show up there. I think it's at 4 or 5 at the 115 Coral Street. You can go up to the Armory. You can get a meal and go up to the Armory. You get kicked out at 5 o'clock at night, come back, and I'm not sure how long you have to wait for breakfast. And then you get, of course, excluded from the Homeless Lack of Services Center during the day. And some people wait outside. I remember Mama Shannon and the Sunday broadcast that we that I played some days ago, talking about how she thinks that there was an intentional decision by the management of the Homeless Lack of Services Center to change the hours of the Homeless Lack of Services Center so people had to wait outside in ways that would antagonize the already reactionary sentiments of the nearby business owners and beach flats folks, so that they would come down on the Homeless Lack of Services Center, cut the budget, go after homeless people, create new laws, drive them out of town. I don't know if I agree with that, but it's an interesting idea. Let's listen to another song, and I'll be right back. Assuming that I can do so without getting toned out here.
Thanks a lot. Too many faces strange in the morning, too many breakfasts while somebody breaks, too many body strokes like a fixture, too many fakers and too many flakes, too many moments fled to the pasture, too many moments while somebody sleeps, too many birds and clowns to the slaughter, too many Christians and too many creeps. Where is the justice? Where's the madness? Where is the twinge of jealousy? Where are the endless mornings after? Where is the one for me? Too many cowards dressed for the courting, too many jokers while somebody weeps, too many idiots boiled and spotted, too many critics and too many creeps. Where is the justice? Where's the madness? Where is the twinge of jealousy? Where are the endless mornings after? Where is the one for me? Too many faces strange and deserting, too many lovers while somebody leaps, too many faces huddled and hurting, too many criminals, too many creeps. Too many faces huddled and hurting, too many criminals, too many creeps.
Too many creeps. Well, what can I say? So, Free Radio Santa Cruz is what you're listening to. This is not a live show, but a good show, or at least the usual kind of show I do, and I hope you enjoy it. We're going to be playing some more from the Freedom Sleepers sleepout that happened in front of the City Hall, number 19. We've been doing one after another in our endless attempt to civilize the city council and awaken the conscience of the community. Let's see if we can find where we were. I'm going to pause briefly and try to get it together here. And I'll be right back. Don't go away.
Any other reports, Dr.?
No, I think that's about it. That'll be enough for the moment.
We should note that you are, in fact, the poster boy of this month's Street Spirit.
That's right. Thank
and
you.
But I notice it's not a nude photo. Will that be coming up in a future issue? Everybody doesn't do nude photos
at
anymore.
At the graveside, you'll be able to see all that.
Thank you very much. We've been talking with
Doc Mike.
Thank you, Doc Mike.
All right, okay.
I don't understand why Jack
Kerouac. So did you?
So we're talking with
Doc Mike.
And do I understand you to say that you're going to be laying out your bedding next to the library here to, in flagrant violation of the city's sleeping ban?
Yeah, it's a protest. A protest against some of the laws they have that are persecuting the poor people. And who have a right to sleep at night, and they don't provide any space for them. They just give them tickets, you know. And that needs to be changed somehow or other, you know, so they have a place to sleep, a safe place, especially for women, to sleep at night.
You got no argument for me, Doc.
I know. So we'll see how it goes. You know, I'm sure the cops will be around later, but hopefully they're not going to bother me.
You never can tell. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Here come the tables.
Oh, are they?
Well, we're on Pacific Avenue, and it's getting later, about 10 to 9. There's Jack's
night. The news.
What's happened to you?
We'll pause briefly here. I just wanted to note, ironically, Doc Mike himself called the police later that night,
His sleeping bag was taken, apparently. I wasn't there when this happened. And the report I got was that he, I think, imprudently called the police, who he then accused another person of taking the bag, according to this report, but it wasn't, it turned out not to be his bag. Doc Mike is, well, like myself, getting on in years, and, you know, we all make mistakes. I don't know whether it's a matter of age or it's, you know, maybe just simple mistakes. It doesn't in any way vitiate or take away from the validity of the other stuff he's been talking about, and I approve of that and applaud him for coming. And he's also the kind of the, his picture can be found on the front of the new Street Spirit. This new Street Spirit can be found often at the, well, the Sub Rosa doesn't seem to be open much these days, and I do want it to be available for people to sell. It's available for homeless folks to sell and for people who are poor to sell. You get a buck for a copy, and it has lots of stories about Santa Cruz, including, and this was not my choice, much of what Don Lane wrote on his website talking about homeless needs, and he actually claims to favor ending the sleeping and blanket ban sections of the camping ordinance, although we haven't heard a peep out of him on that issue since that particular Facebook entry appeared. But the Street Spirit, the monthly newspaper put out by the American Friends Service Committee, which, as I said, you can find. Where can you find it? Well, you have to kind of find it where I am at, which is, you see somebody driving around town in a car completely covered with bumper stickers, that might well be my vehicle. So rush up to me and demand a copy of the Street Spirit. And you'll probably get one, although I'll ask you to give a dollar to a homeless foot person if you're not homeless already, because that is really its main function, which is to give folks who are outside an opportunity to make a little money so they can, you know, at least come in and have a cup of coffee for half an hour before they're thrown out, or 20 minutes, I think, is it the McDonald's time limit? I'm not sure. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. This is not a live show, but it is a fairly current show. And if you want to comment on it, you can leave a comment on the Huff Line, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, at 831-423-4833. And I hope you do. Back to Freedom Sleepers, again, fairly early in the evening on the 17th.
Fill me up by earlier. I'll leave the free pizza for the
people. We're talking with Marcos. And Marcos, what news do you have for us tonight?
Tonight, the news.
What's happened to you that you think is worth?
Yeah. So I found $20 on the ground.
Right.
And I bought a $1,200 bike with it.
That was a pretty interesting purchase.
It may have been, I don't know. I don't ask questions. I'm just blessed and glad in the blessings. And it got stolen from me right behind me on Pacific.
Really?
Yeah, like later that day. It sucked.
Have you been able to sleep at night without harassment?
I mean, I'm always getting harassed when I'm like on Pacific and stuff, when I'm just like laying down. And then there's times where I wake up to security and stuff saying, hey, you need to move along. But I'm kind of a crash dummy, so I don't blame them. I fall asleep in strange places.
So have you gotten any tickets in the last week?
I have not gotten any tickets in the last week.
Oh, what's wrong with you? Get busy. I mean, come on.
Hey, I'm not really trying.
Well, that's obvious.
I just don't want...
Lazy, are you?
Idle? Listless? A little bit. Borderline, sort of, kind of. But I usually don't sleep, so that's the problem, probably.
Well, indeed. Sleep deprivation, of course, is the point. You think if you get sleepy enough, you'll sleepwalk out of town.
Yeah, and I don't want to do that. Santa Cruz is too cool.
And in the winter, too cold.
A little bit. Like, my feet are freezing. And as a matter of fact, I need a blanket and, like, a sleeping bag and all that because it got stolen.
When was that?
I think it was, like, 4 or 5 days ago, and that was probably here at City Hall, and I believe it was the city. They stole my blanket. So they want me to freeze. They want me to freeze because my friend found something in the dumpster. My bag's in the dumpster.
Really?
I believe it was the city.
And this, again, and this is anecdotal, and who knows, how accurate this is, or you know how many people are repeating the same story, but it sounds like these are actual incidents that people have experienced, and it seems to indicate a pattern of harassment, specifically police coming and seizing property. And they're supposed to be holding it for 60 to 90 days. Of course, it can only be reclaimed twice a week during a two-hour period on Tuesday and a two-hour period on Thursday. I think it's 12:30 to 2:30. Although folks should double-check either online or ask around to see exactly when that is. I get it. Pretty sure it's 12:30 to 2:30, though. But if it's also going into the dumpster, as I've heard, for example, Parks and Rec was throwing items from that they're picking up off the levee into the dumpster, and not just trash, sleeping bags, things that people use, blankets. This is hate crime. This is a form, you might even say, I know, we don't want to insult any Holocaust victims, but genocide, a form of attacks designed to make it more difficult for poor people to survive the winter. Probably not intended specifically to kill them. That's, you know, a little too much for middle-class people to really get into without their military training, of course. But it's it's acceptable to drive homeless people out of town. That's becoming, you know, all the rage. I mean, we want to be smart solutions is to you're actually helping the local homeless by driving everybody else out of town, because that way they have more resources. Actually, you create a climate that creates less resources for everyone, more selfishness, more fear, more hostility, and then more reaction from homeless folks who unfortunately don't turn on their oppressors, but they turn on each other, hence rising theft. And more and more of, well, let's get back to the Freedom Sleep Out.
Interesting. And the conspiracy man, they want me to get high on meth and like not sleep.
Well, they are trying to introduce you to new experiences.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Or renew old experiences, as the case may be.
Maybe.
Indeed. And we've been talking with
Marcos.
Anything else, Marcos?
Live free. Ride hard.
Thank you.
Live hard.
That's the spirit.
And it sounds like that's it for that particular segment. Let's go musical and move on to the next segment.
Changes speed.
Alan Alda. He did everything he could, and he always understood when I needed an embrace. But he always touched my face like he felt so out of place, and I knew just where he stood when he said I needed space. In 1958, it was the year that the Yankees won the pennant. Though they'd done it before, they'd probably done it again. I remember it well, it was really great. I was there in the stands with my first boyfriend. When I think of him now, he was close to nothing. And I didn't understand it at all, but I got a lot of stuff on the ball. You know the guy on TV with the coffee machine? I don't remember his name, but I remember the game. I went to college in 1965. It was the year that the war was really noted. Though it threw me forward, I'm sure it was not my last. I remember it well, I was so alive. I would march on the streets with my first lover. When I think of him now, well, I know that he came too fast. But it took forever to learn. I was never quite taking my turn. But he just couldn't care that it was something to share. I don't remember the score, but I remember the war. I don't want a mollycoddle little boy busting on me like I think the son of mother's knee. Who will wait on me, hand a foot of those, put it in his mouth and take it to me. I don't want a mushroom and a piece of chuck and chuck and throwing up something out of me. I just want him to be on a level with me. I want him after the 80s. I want a man of a strong but sane. I want a man who will meet to change my life. I want a man for the 80s. Someone polished but still inept. I don't want to be kept, and I don't want a wife. I almost married in 1969. It was the year that the eagle finally landed. And I guess it was great, but they only brought back some dirt. I remember it well, it was summertime. We were having a fight about religion. When I think of it now, I suppose I was really hurt. Cause he said my place was at home, and he put himself up on a throne, saying everything's fine. Have you seen me being mine? I don't remember his tune, but I remember the moon. I don't want to stick a feather crack about pretending I'm the only thing that matters anymore. Who will fight with me to the mirror, reminding me of everything I've ever said before? I don't want to sell his only sexual rights, let me give me like a whore. I just want to be sure I don't need any more. I want to end of the 80s, I want to end of a song that sings. I want to end of the need to change my life. I want to enter the 80s, someone polished but still inept. I don't want to be kept, and I don't want a wife. I want to enter the 80s, I want a man who is all but pure. I want a man who is sure to stay the night. I want to enter the 80s, someone able to be alone. I don't want to be owned, and I don't want a
And that's Man for the 80s, again from plain brown rapper Uncle Banzai. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris. The name of the show is Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. And the phone number to call with notes on the show, you can't call the studio, we don't have a studio, is 427-3772. Want to help us get a studio, earn $500, find us a place we can set up our equipment. Has to have 24-hour access, access to electricity and to the Internet. And it's should be in Santa Cruz somewhere, if possible, or in the outskirts. And you'll get $500 if you do. So, let's get back to what we were talking about before, or what I was playing for you before. The interviews that I took outside City Hall as we all spent the night trying to raise the issues of basic rights for poor people outside, and as we will be doing again next Tuesday night. Hopefully you'll be joining us, or at least being supportive in some way.
Good morning.
Well, we're on Pacific Avenue, and it's getting later, about 10 to 9. There's Jack's folks passing seats back and forth. Hey, how's it going? Any reports from the street?
All better. Everything's fine.
All better?
Yes. We're good.
Good. Good. Nice looking dog.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Aha. We're all migrating downtown.
Better lighting.
How about maybe just like some information?
Give me some info. What's your name?
My name's Joshua.
And who is this Pooth?
This is Kyanai.
Go ahead, Joshua. What you got?
I was wondering. I got a camping ticket for not camping, and I don't know what to do about that.
Well, tell me what happened.
I was sitting down eating breakfast in Lighthouse Field with friends, and a cop rolls up. I think it was around like 9:30, and
in the evening or the night?
In the morning time, and gave us a ticket for supposedly camping when we have no camping gear. We're sitting there on a blanket eating breakfast with my dog. And he hassled us and told us that we were detained and arrested. And then gave us a ticket and left.
You know the name of the cop?
I do not know.
The ticket with you?
What?
You have the ticket?
I do have the ticket. Yeah.
Where did this happen?
In Lighthouse Field.
And you know, how many people were ticketed?
Two.
How long ago?
About 2.5 months ago.
Well, it's, you can do a number of things with it. It's probably too late to challenge it in court, but maybe not. I don't know if you're into the court.
I took pictures of the area that we're sitting in, what we're sitting on, and to prove that we weren't camping. There was no cop in the picture at the moment, but like right when he left, because he told us that we couldn't stand up, so I couldn't take pictures of the area while he was there. But I did take pictures of the area and what was there to prove that we were not camping and we're just sitting there eating food. And
you're interested in pursuing it. There's a meeting of HUF, which is the group I work with, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom.
Thank you.
Tomorrow at the Sub Rosa Cafe. You know the Sub Rosa?
Yeah, I know where Sub Rosa is at.
Have you been to these meetings before?
No, I have not been to the HUF meetings, but I know where Sub Rosa is at.
Come there at 11 o'clock. We can talk more about it.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Too much talking. We need more action.
There you go. Now there's a woman who has to be listened to. Stop talking and start acting.
That's it.
All right.
We're out here.
You're here.
We're out here.
And me too. Well, you, mostly you.
We're out here.
You're out there.
Yeah.
And we've been listening to the laughter of...
Onwin.
Thank you, Onwin.
You're welcome.
All right.
Onward. And cut.
And again, this is 2.5 months earlier, if his account is accurate. Our man, Joshua, never showed up at the meeting. Very few folks who I talk to actually do. Their priorities are elsewhere, and it's not part of that schedule. And also, trying to fight this stuff in court is really something for people who have a more sedentary existence, who have a house, who have a room, who at least have a permanent spot they're staying. It's hard to, you know, fit your schedule into that of the court machine, which is primarily concerned with rolling out fines and getting pleas for plea bargains. Let's see what else we got here coming down the pike. There's, I'm going to play a little more of Freedom Sleep Out number 19. And hopefully I'm also going to get a report from Berkeley. In fact, I may try to do that now and maybe get a live interview. Or it won't be live as far as you listeners are concerned, but it will be live as far as I'm concerned. Of course, I'm live as far as I'm concerned. And, well, so are you. Don't go away. So before getting into more Freedom Sleeper stuff, which may seems a little repetitive and I don't have a lot of time, I'm just going to kind of mention a few of the things. This morning I noticed, actually I was following up from a day or two ago, a story, activists occupy the Minneapolis Police Department after the shooting of Jamar Clark. This is a part of a pattern of police abuse that's been going on for decades in the city of Minneapolis. The president of the local chapter of the NAACP told Mint Press, which is what I'm reading this story from by Kit O'Connell, dated yesterday. Group of protesters gather at the front entrance to the 4th Police Precinct Station Monday, November 16th, at Minneapolis after a man was shot by Minneapolis police early Sunday morning. Community members and activists on Monday at a news conference demanded that police release the name of the officer involved as well as any video of the incident. I think they did yesterday. And here's the story. After the weekend shooting of an unarmed black man in Minneapolis, protesters camped overnight in a local police station saying they won't leave until they receive justice. Jamar Clark is on life support. He's since died. After the shooting, which took place early Sunday morning at the intersection of James and Plymouth Avenue in North Minneapolis, that's in Minnesota. Numerous eyewitnesses at the scene, some of whom could be seen shouting in a YouTube video uploaded on Sunday, claim that Clark was handcuffed at the time of the incident, though police deny that this was the case. Like many other major cities, Minneapolis police have paid out millions in lawsuits over police conduct in recent years. In October, the city settled a lawsuit for $122,000 regarding a 2012 incident in which police allegedly assaulted a black man over a gun he was legally permitted to carry. As a civil rights lawyer, Nikema Nevi Pounds of the NAACP there highlighted the cases of Terrence Franklin and Tysel Nelson as other high-profile examples of what she called execution-style killings by police. According to official reports quoted in the Minneapolis Star Tribune, Clark, who was suspected of assault, was shot on a North Minneapolis street by a police officer early Sunday while allegedly hindering emergency responders from aiding Clark's victim. Levy Pounds said, Clark got into a verbal argument with the driver of an ambulance containing his girlfriend shortly before police arrived and shot him. She told Mint Press that she said that a sizable crowd had gathered at the scene before the shooting, and what they described differs significantly from police accounts. According to eyewitness accounts, a police officer put him in a chokehold and brought him to the ground. Another one put his knee in his chest. She said she was told that an officer stood over him and shot him in the head after Clark was handcuffed. She said many people at the scene believed Clark was already dead when he was put in the back of an ambulance. As tensions grew in the aftermath, there were also reports that police used pepper spray and threatened protesters with guns drawn. And there's a lot of stories. I've been kind of gathering stories about this incident, the killing of Jamar Clark in Minneapolis. But it's only one of many instances of police violence throughout the country, which are being tracked by the Guardian newspaper in London. It's kind of interesting. And the longest story about this, as I remember, came either from an alternative press, Mint Press, which I hadn't heard of before this, and also I think the Guardian itself, or possibly it was another London newspaper, alerted me to this story. It's Minneapolis, across the country, big city. Oh, you know, Santa Cruz, they don't shoot people dead here. Well, they did. Happy John Dine was shot in 1997. Others have been shot as well. David Andrus, I believe, was shot. Wasn't shot. He was pepper sprayed and died en route to the police, to the hospital or to the jail. I'm not sure. That was some years ago. There are numerous cases. The real issue is, are the police accountable for this? And you may recall the case of Jeffrey Helms, whose phone conversation I played part of, I think it was on Sunday, four days ago from the time this is being broadcast, who claimed that a female police officer drew a gun on him as he tried to present his ID after having been stopped, he said, for nothing at all, just maybe walking while homeless. And she pulled his gun and pulled the trigger, and the gun misfired, according to Jeffrey Helms. Now, when I tried to get information about that from the police department, they did mention that Helms was arrested for drunk in public. He claims he hasn't had a drink in 12 years. And also that he finally admitted, apparently, that a gun was displayed. But he never has acknowledged that the gun was fired or misfired. But that's perhaps too much for the police to expect from our police department, that kind of honesty. But certainly, we have a right to know whether there was any video or audio of that. But then again, that might give away the game, wouldn't it? Because when I asked that question of Chief Vogel, he didn't answer yes, and he didn't answer no. And I've been trying to get council members Posner and Comstock to get the department to at least acknowledge and make public the video or audio they have of this incident. Why? Even though no one was shot, indeed when even a gun wasn't even discharged. If it's true that this woman drew a gun on an unarmed homeless man and pulled the trigger without any real provocation, this is a serious situation that sort of strikes home not just around police training, but around, I think, how homeless people are perceived by the Santa Cruz Police Department and by the Santa Cruz community, and how, I don't know, what do we need to do to guarantee, or what do homeless folks need to do to guarantee that they're going to have adequate self-defense in these situations? I have got no answers to that one. In any case, that's kind of the local aspect. I recently, I guess yesterday, no, maybe it was even this morning, I sent a letter to Pamela Comstock, a right-wing Take Back Santa Cruz co-founder, who has also found her way onto the Santa Cruz City Council. She's head of the department that supposedly oversees the police department. She wrote me back when I said, what about the audio and video here? You know, what's going on there, police overseer woman? I didn't put it in quite those terms. She said, oh, we don't oversee. We simply, the police department has its own internal complaint process. There's an independent police auditor called Bob Aronson. That's his name. I don't think she mentioned it. And, that's not our affair. And, of course, I didn't expect anything more than that, actually, from her. But it's important to document the kind of bureaucratic absurdities and buck-passing that is going on in this city from people who claim to be concerned with public safety. It's kind of a grim irony. Let's move from grim irony to a little musical irony, perhaps, with another song from Uncle Banzai. Another one I haven't heard. That's a little something new, perhaps. See what we can do. Let's take a listen here to how about, I don't know, Meet Me Under the Table sounds good.
You've been sitting there for hours, and you show no signs of leaving. After all the whiskey sour, I can't tell if you're still breathing. You don't know how much I love you, but I'm sure you look you in the eye.
You have your face in your lap, which is all over the place. Leave me under the table. That's what tables are for. Why pretend to be lonely when you're only a foot or two away from the floor? Meet me under the table. I'll be the one with the glow. You'll be someone to sing to as we cling to the tablecloth wherever we go. Been here for so long, now I'm starting to think that makes everything wrong. Better get me a drink. You got to fight for the truth. You got to stand up and cheer for better brands of vermouth and higher potency beer. Shoes and the gum.
So let's catch the last bit I have from the Freedom Sleeper event of Tuesday, day before yesterday.
And I'm returning to City Hall after a dinner break downtown with my friend Valerie. And just remembering that Brent Adams, who's working on a warming center, has returned from working up north, and he's probably going to be talking about it on free radio later, not necessarily later in this broadcast, but he's also been keeping an eye on, well, he has sort of had a mixed relationship with the Freedom Sleepers early on, when we had a sort of more active group here, although we do have homeless folks who are hanging in there, continuing to come week after week, and that's good. So a quick chat with Steve Plaich, who advised me that while I was gone, there was a Freedom Sleeper who thought his bag had been stolen by someone else and called the police, and then police came in a timely and presumably polite way and challenged the individual who Doc Mike had thought was had taken his bag, but it was not his bag. And the issue was peacefully resolved and in a speedy way. So that has to be acknowledged, because we find I do so much criticism of the police. I want to also, I suppose, give them credit Alex DeRosa, were you here when the police arrived and the sleeping bag crime incident?
Yes, and I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, dear. Well, so keeping a close leash on your tongue, eh?
Well, I want to say it happened to a nice gentleman, and I don't want to, like, you know, embarrass him about that or, you know, call
I've already
him.
Mentioned his name, but you know, it happens.
He's a very nice guy.
It happens to the best of people. It
made a mistake, basically.
I think
you know?
It's an error to calling the police generally, but in this case, when they arrived and they were professional about the whole thing. Was that your impression or not?
Very professional, yeah, and they wanted to leave, too, throughout the whole process because they had the instincts of, you know, they knew kind of what was going on. It was kind of like trivial.
What are we doing here?
What are we doing here? You know, we get paid a lot, you know. And kind of handling such a strange sort of issue, you know, that some kind of mediator might handle better or something. You know what I mean? That I heard that recently, a cop interview, that they didn't want to be social workers. So a lot of them, they really are, they don't like social work. They don't like that whole, you know, expectation that they do that all the time. So that was my vibe that I got from them. But they handled it really well.
How many police showed up?
Two officers and two cars.
And what was the reaction of the crowd? Was there any problem here with that?
No.
Steve Pleach called down the thunder. No.
And Steve Pleach was the informant who told me about this. If anyone wants to complain to Steve Pleach. Or about Steve Pleach. Wow, making a joke.
The count is 19, 20, including Alex.
So
seven people over
here. Not supposed to include me.
Oh, he's an objectionable observer.
No, he's under the press, so we can't include him as a freedom sleeper.
Certainly not.
Although we'd love to have him anytime he wants to bed down here with us. There's a place for him right here at City Hall.
And I personally will provide you with a pillow. And a teddy bear.
So 19 is the count right now.
19 is the count. Counting everybody there and there. Yeah, I think so. And it's 9:10. Alex, you recently, your ticket was dismissed for Freedom Sleepers? Is that what?
Oh, did you get that information from that gentleman right there?
I do not know where I got it, but obviously I made an error here.
For me.
So you're still going to the bar?
That's an error.
So you're still facing the music with this kind of criminal sleeping?
My situation's complicated and I'm not going on record.
Incriminating statements, perhaps?
No, definitely not, because I know you're in with Basket. You and she play.
She and I are just good friends. I want you to make that clear to you right now.
I could swear I spot.
And there's a lot of banter going on here. Alex is a photographer and a writer who you can regularly read on Indie Bay, Santa Cruz Indie Media. He does regular coverage of each of these sleepouts. And good coverage. I've had my disagreements with Alex in the past, not so much recently, but I really appreciate the work he's done. And it was, he himself was ticketed for being in a closed area in a park. He took some pictures of the police and they rewarded him with a citation. He's also facing charges himself of taking pictures of the Highway 6 who blocked 17 in order to stop business as usual around the tuition hikes and the police brutality nationwide and the racial discrimination against African Americans and other minorities. Let's hear more.
Are the two of you playing Magic the Gathering together?
That was me and Micah Posner.
Oh, okay.
He actually called me today and looked for a game of Magic.
For real?
For real, yeah.
Well,
I told him.
I wonder if he likes you or tolerates you.
Well, you know, I have my reputation to maintain, both in the magic world and in the real world.
Oh, my goodness, that's, you're blowing my mind right now.
It's hard to even. So
but
you.
If you go off the mic.
We're going to go off mic here. You're not going to be able to hear what we're saying, so me.
I'll fill you in. Yeah, I don't really want to report on it, because Bradley, you're.
Okay. My apologies, folks. Yes, tape recorder problem, or audio recorder problem. We have soup. We have, it's about 11:15, and I'm talking.
Before we hear more.
Strumming away.
Before we hear more.
I'm talking with.
Before we hear more about that, I have to kind of address the computer, which is going crazy. Yeah, I mean, a lot of Alex's court situation is public record, but it's, again, as an example of punitive police action. All of these actions are punitive actions that have nothing to do with real crimes. But her attempt to deter protests, you might say, well, that's traditional, you know, that goes with the territory. Yes, it does go with the territory. Should it go with the territory? Is it something we should tolerate as going with the territory? Definitely not. That's the wrong way to go, the wrong way to proceed. So, I think I'm going to... Well, let's hear a little more of that, and then we're probably going to reach the end of the show. And if you've enjoyed the show and you want to hear more shows like it, give me a call at 831-423-4833 or email me at rnorris3@hotmail.com and encourage me, because, frankly, it takes lots of work to do these shows, approximately twice as much work as doing a show in the radio studio, because... you have to patch together lots of little bits of voice, and it often doesn't come together in the most professional way. So do let me know. Otherwise, you know, you might have to rely on my old shows.
Okay. My apologies, folks. Yes, tape recorder problem or audio recorder problem. We have soup. We have, it's about 11:15, and I'm talking with...
Ty.
And Ty, 5 years here on the streets, a long time in Santa Cruz. What's the scene here in terms of how have things changed for you in the last 5 years?
Yeah. It's definitely become... It's not like it used to be. You know, honestly, I mean, it used to be quite a bit more happy-go-lucky on the streets. There used to be a lot more people and, you know, community... at least amongst people and homeless people. Now, it's... people are angry with each other now, honestly.
And what do you think accounts for this?
It's being ping-ponged around like a pinball, honestly. It's what it feels like, you know?
So like when you cram people together and bounce them around, they get pissed with each other rather than turning their... attention on who's ping-ponging them?
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, you just get bounced around, you know what I mean? They tell you you can't be here, so you go somewhere else, and they tell you you can't be there, and, well, where do you go? And they don't give you an answer. So.
Not here, not now. Get moving.
Exactly. Hurry up and wait.
You were here last winter?
I was here last winter, yeah.
And how does it differ from this winter, if at all, if you remember?
In all honesty, I don't really recall. Actually, you know what? The last winter, I spent living inside of a car. So I wasn't as...
vulnerable?
Yeah. I wasn't as, in the elements as much. I didn't notice it as much.
Yeah. What happened to the car?
Unfortunately, the car got towed. Because we were parked at a DJ's Mini Mart. We were parked at the car wash of a DJ's Mini Mart. And my girlfriend's registration had expired, and so they towed the car.
And they towed your house?
Pretty much, yeah.
And how's your girlfriend doing?
Hot soup, come and get it.
You know, she's an ex-girlfriend now, but she's okay, you know.
That's good.
Yeah.
Camping tickets, hassles, anything like that?
I've had so many camping tickets, I don't even know what to... I wouldn't even know where to start, you know what I mean? I just ignore them, you know what I mean, honestly.
And what your last contact with police was?
A week and a half ago.
What was it about?
Sleeping in the park.
And what happened?
It was like 7:15 in the morning. That's about 7:15 in the morning, and it was so cold that, I mean, it was just freezing cold, and I put the blanket over my head, and apparently I was not allowed to put a blanket over my head, so I...
You violated the blanket over the head rule.
Yeah, exactly.
And how many police officers or rangers confronted you?
Just one ranger and one police officer.
What did they tell you?
They said that you're not allowed to do this, and that it's, you know, I was like, well,